Welcome to the scene. I'm your host, Andrea Kruska, and today I'm joined by Hannah LaRue of If Hill Carvings. Hannah, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell me a little bit about how you got started in art and making and jewelry and everything.
Well, I've always really enjoyed expressing myself creatively. And I always knew that I wanted to use my hands to make my work. When I found the Appalachian Center for Craft when I was like 19 or 18, I went to a tour and everything just kind of clicked into place for me. There I found pretty much that you could study craft and work with your hands and also apply it to a form of art. And when that all happened and I could get a major from that all, it's when everything just kind of clicked into place for me. And I was so happy to have found the Appalachian Center for Craft.
There's such a great resource here, and it's given this area just like the most amazing blend of makers, craftspeople, artists.
Definitely.
We're really spoiled here. So tell me a little bit about what you actually do.
So right now, after the pandemic kind of happened, I really kind of helped push me into gear on wanting to work for myself and still make my art. So currently what I am doing is I am making handmade glass jewelry. So what I'm doing is I'm pretty much taking two panels of sheet glass and I'm fusing them together. And I'm using the subtractive process of glass where it's using different tools, power tools that are diamond embedded. And I have to use water with them constantly so the glass doesn't crack. And this allows me to carve into the glass and change the shape or change the finish completely. And then from there, I mount them onto little pieces of metal or jewelry and make timeless little pieces. I've just really been loving the whole process.
I love that. It's so unique and not something that you can, like, I mean, with any of our makers and everything around here, like, you can't just walk into Walmart and buy something like that. But
exactly.
It's so cool to have something so unique that you've clearly spent a lot of time on. When did you, I know you mentioned 18 or 19 at the Appalachian Center for Craft, but how long have you known, like, you want to do something like this?
When I was about, I don't know how my mother stumbled upon this, but like when I was about like 14, we went to blow your own ornament at a glass studio.
Oh, so cool.
In Alabama. And I was super thankful for that experience. The artist still is in Alabama. His name's Cal Breed. It's Orbix Hot Glass. And one of my friends works for him, but now. But anyway, seeing them work there, like, and also being able to have that hands-on experience at such a young age, I was really mesmerized by the whole process. In the back of my mind, I was always like, that would be so cool to do. And I didn't actually think you could get majors or an education in glass. And so when I stumbled upon the Craft Center and someone from Orbix had recommended it, I was just immediately like, oh my gosh, this is where I can go to actually make it all happen. So I've always enjoyed art and I always took art classes in school, but I would say that experience is where I was always like, you can pretty much like learn how to blow glass and use it as a craft and
make it a career.
Make it a career. Yeah.
That is so incredible. I think not everyone. I know a lot of artists like are just like, oh, I've been doing this my whole life. But I know there's some of us who like we have that like watershed moment for us where
right.
It's like it clicks. And like for me, it was someone being like, hey, you take all these photos when you're hiking. Why aren't you selling them? And I'm like, wait, what? People would want to buy
yes,
things from
exactly.
me? Are you crazy? So, yeah, I think we
exactly.
as artists, we all kind of understand that like imposter syndrome.
Yes.
Like, people want to buy from me.
Exactly. Yeah, I was completely blown away when I really started the jewelry thing and how much feedback and positive feedback I got from other makers, especially other artists, and people that were willing to buy my work. Yeah.
We'll be right back on the scene
okay.
with more with Hannah LaRue.
That rare 45 from the 1960s?
The one you wore out on your record player.
Search for the rare at Harper's.
That classic story of intrigue and mystery.
The book you can't put down.
Get a scare.
Or romance in the air.
At Harper's.
The hub for anything and everything creative.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
If it's rare.
If it's groovy.
If it's one of a kind.
You just might find it at Harper's.
Just down from the depot in Cookeville's historic West Side.
The kind of place that's much less store and much more about the search.
Stroll, look, sit a spell.
Hang out, soak in the unique and the rare.
But be warned.
You just may be late getting back to work.
It's new every time you walk through the doors.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles. 41 West Broad Street, Cookeville.
A one-of-a-kind book, collectible records, and unique treasures.
The community's hub for all things creative.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Cookeville's historic West Side.
You're back on the scene, and I'm here talking to Hannah LaRue of If Hill Carvings. Hannah, what are you working on currently?
I'm actually working on something that is very special to me. A client has contacted me for a very personal commission, and she has asked me to make several memorial pieces for her family. And what this process involves is taking a small amount of ashes from a loved one, and I am actually fusing it between two pieces of glass. And from there, I'm going to be cutting out the piece, and I kind of sand it and make it like a precious bead or a gemstone, and I apply it to the metal. And I am so excited to be working on a piece like this because having it be so special to the client and it meaning so much to them is very important to me. It's just a really neat process that I hope to be a part of in the future. I'm going to try to have a website spot on my website called Remembrance, where people can contact me in the future to make pieces for their loved ones or even pets. And I can put it and talk to them and pick out colors and styles that help them with their process. Yep.
That is beautiful. And what an honor to have someone approach you to be like that person who will create this piece that they're going to keep with them forever. God, it seems like a really big responsibility because, of course, you want it to be perfect.
Right, exactly. But sometimes it just, what's the effect that it leaves with the glass is just really incredible. And it's just something that is just so unique. And the fact that it's encased and it's almost like, for, you know, I just think it's so neat that it becomes so valuable and precious to someone. I just think it's a really neat opportunity.
That's beautiful. When you're working on other things, this obviously, like, your inspiration is whatever they want to think about when they remember this person. When you're working on other things, what is your inspiration? Where do you get your ideas from?
Gotcha. I mean, when it comes to like the rest of the jewelry that I enjoy making, it all starts with just like a sketch, and I keep working a sketch, and from there the sketch really helps me figure out how I'm going to be introducing it to the metal, and even like connecting it and everything. And from there, you know, the sketch becomes a design. And once again, I take it to the glass and I'll literally like Xerox copy a lot of the times my designs, and it will be like glued on top of the glass, and I'll just be carving away and making the form or the piece that I had in my sketch. That to me is kind of like how that process kind of started going. And I really, it's once again using that cold working process or the subtractive process of glass, and it can leave such different velvet finishes on the glass that is really unique.
Where are you getting ideas for pieces? Like, I know a lot of people, you know, like get ideas from other artists or nature or, you know, even music and everything.
Right. I mean, I always have on headphones while I'm working, and I'm always listening to music, and I definitely feel like that helps with the flow, because when I'm carving, I'm using a tool that's almost like I'm holding it like a pencil as well. So like when I'm actually sketching these things, it's helping me carve it out later. But I would definitely say I'm just definitely inspired by all the nature around here. It is gorgeous. The colors. What I also really love about the glass process too is anytime something breaks or I have scrap left over, I can just take that and I remelt it, and I've come to use my scrap as another form of making jewelry called ribbon rock, and it's all just very unique pieces that I cut out of scrap fusings. And so I just really love that. I pretty much have like zero waste right now when it comes to my glass jewelry. So I'm really happy about that part, and I'm using every little piece. But it's really cool because the pieces that are very loud and bold and bright, those are a lot of times the pieces that I've remelted and reused. And those are the ones people really seem to love.
Love that. I love the zero waste thing. That's incredible. We'll be right back on the scene with more with Hannah LaRue. Welcome back to the scene. I'm here talking with Hannah LaRue today. And Hannah, you mentioned you studied at the Craft Center. How did that, and then also just this culture and community we have in the Upper Cumberland, kind of help you and influence your craft?
I've just always been blown away just by this region in general. All the artists that are just kind of out here nestled almost in the hills. But when you find them, they are the most supportive. They are so humble about their skills. And it's, you know, this is a great radio show because it's endless. I feel like you can just constantly be finding new people. But the Appalachian Center for Craft was definitely my roots and where it all started. And I always recommend people to go and check out that beautiful piece of land. And from there, the Appalachian Center for Craft is so neat because you can meet so many different people that are coming in through different opportunities, and then they all spread out. And before you know it, you have a different family almost all over the place. So I'm very thankful for where I am currently.
I definitely agree. We had, like you said, we have so many different artists and makers here, and the community has really embraced it as well. Any of the like little markets or craft fairs, or it's just a crazy amount of people come to those, which is awesome. But it's just, it is really nice to see this kind of artisan culture get so embraced here. Speaking of all these other local artists, who are some of your favorite artists, makers, local or otherwise?
Well, I feel like when it kind of comes to trying to find inspiration for jewelry, because I'm always into like, right now I'm very into like bold patterns and bright colors, I still go to like very back to the history, like Jackson Pollock, those kind of painters. But someone I found recently, which, you know, I'm honestly, sometimes social media is amazing for that part. But someone who I found recently is Camthio Camo, and their work is just blown me away because they take like large scale botanical sculptures, but they're rugs and they're like hanging on a wall. And I am in love with all the textures and patterns. When I honestly have been looking up at a lot of like handmade rugs that people, I guess, almost like tuffing guns that people are using to create patterns or their own textures with the fiber, I'm very much in love with that right now. And I get a lot of inspiration from that all because it's just such bright, bold colors and the patterns are really great. And I believe it's Camthio Camo or Como. And their work is just really, I've been just blown away by it recently. So that's what I love about Instagram sometimes, is that you can just find all these artists in all these different places of the world and be inspired by them.
What is coming up next for you?
Besides being super excited for this summer line of jewelry that I'm making, I'm making these strawberries that I'm crazy about right now, and a lot of like water splatters and like almost like paint splatters. And I've already had the glass components made. I just need to make them into the jewelry parts. I'm so excited for that stuff. But other things that I have planned for the summertime is hopefully I will be in the Cookeville Art Prowl in the fall. So that definitely, I will be promoting that on social media. And then this summer, a friend of mine, Lexi Moore, she's an incredible woodworker. She'll be having a booth at the Burlap Room, and I will be selling some of my work with hers. And the Burlap Room is in Smithville. If you haven't checked it out, it's a nursery beer garden.
Very cool. And how can people find your work?
Right now, I have two galleries that are local where I have where I try to keep my work updated, and I definitely recommend supporting local galleries. The first one is in Cookeville. It's a Silver Fern. It's run by artists and makers, and Brie is awesome. And then there's also the Appalachian Center for Craft, and that gallery is awesome as well. They have a ton of craftsmen. But the most important one is you can find me through my website, which is www.ithillcarvings.com. Ithill is spelled I-T-H-I-L, carvings, C-A-R-V-I-N-G-S.com. So yeah, definitely check me out through that. And then my Instagram is ithill_carvings, and you can find me through there as well.
Perfect. Thanks so much for being on the show, Hannah.
Thank you. Thank you so much.